Now I'd like to take a brief reading from the Bible, and the passage is the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. If you have a Bible, and if not, it will be a short reading. You'll be able to follow the words. Acts chapter 26, and we read at verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. You just notice the statement of verse 28 again. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And that's all that I intend to read from the Holy Scriptures. Now, I also am glad to see all who have come tonight, and as our brother has said, it has been a busy day for many of you. This meeting is a little bit later than many are accustomed to, and it's getting quite late in the day, so I'll make you a promise. I'll get to my subject, I'll say what I want to say, and as soon as I've said it, I'll stop, so that the meeting will not be unduly prolonged. And the words that I want to speak about tonight are three. Me, a Christian. Me, a Christian. Now, I'll be up front with what I have in mind. First of all, I'm speaking to you tonight as a 33-year-old Christian. I can be a little bit more specific. I'm actually a 33-year-old Christian plus 2 months. On this date, in the month of June, in 1970, at about 9:15 on a Wednesday evening, I became a Christian and I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. So I'm qualified. Any of you will agree that 33 years is a fair while to try anything. I commend to you tonight, dear friend, Christianity as something which I have personally tried and tested. Me, a Christian? Yes, dear friend, I am a Christian. I'm proud to be. What about you? I'm speaking as a 33-year-old Christian, and my purpose in speaking tonight is that you might become a Christian as well. You say, not me. Yes, you. Oh, not me. Yes, you. Me, a Christian. You, a Christian. What is a Christian? We'd have to explain the business. What breed of creature is a Christian? What are the characteristic marks, the brand marks, the hallmarks of a Christian? Well, that's a thing that has caused quite a bit of controversy, many opinions. If you're born in a Christian country, you must be a Christian. If you belong to a Christian family, if you attend a Christian school, if you're a member of a Christian church, if you're kind and nice and generous and a good neighbor, you must be a Christian. Now listen, dear friend, you could be at a Christian school, in a Christian family, a member of a Christian church, and yet not be a Christian. Those are externals. And being a Christian is something far deeper, and it goes to the very core of a person's very being. It's fundamental. It's radical. Me a Christian?
Yes, dear friend, I'm a Christian. What about you? I'm not a millionaire, but I'm a Christian.
I'm not particularly highly educated, but I'm a Christian. I never will be famous.
But dear friend, I'm a Christian.
And to be a Christian, it means more to me tonight than money and fame and education or anything else this world can provide. Me a Christian?
Emphatically, yes. You? If you're not a Christian, what about becoming a Christian tonight? You say not lightly. Dear friend, it could be the greatest night in your life so far. This is for you.
Well, you say you've eliminated a number of things. And having made those eliminations, I feel it's now my duty to give a few explanations. What then is a Christian? If a Christian is not 1, 2, 3, 4, what is a Christian? It's an interesting matter that the word Christian, for all its use, all its common use in our modern society, the word Christian only occurs 3 times in the New Testament. Wasn't it our old friend Shakespeare, and he asked the question in one of his plays, what's in a name? What we call a rose would by any other name smell as sweet. And he was implying that a name is just a casual label, and if you change the labels, it wouldn't really matter, because names do not carry very much weight, and they do not bear much significance.
But dear friend, there's weight in this word.
The first time that the word Christian is used in the Bible, you know, it has to do with a person. There were people, we read about them in one of these chapters earlier in the Word of God, and the Bible tells us that their neighbors called them Christians. And they were called Christians because they had become identified with, and they had become associated with, the greatest person in the universe. This business, I haven't much time for religion. If you really push me, dear friend, I find religion boring. The whole bunch of it. You people have not come up the little hill there into this gym tonight to hear a man talking about religion.
Dear friend, we commend to you Christ.
In all the glory of his radiant person, you go down to any of the libraries around the county library and ransack the volumes of history.
There's not a person to be compared with him.
Amen. He stands unique, exclusive, unparalleled.
Dear friend, we commend to you Christ. Think about the greatness of his power. Think about the marvel of his love. Think about the value of his precious blood.
Think about the power of his resurrection. Think about the promise of his second coming.
I say in the meeting tonight and learn that Christianity is not religion. Christianity is relationship with a living person. Dear friend, what think ye of Christ?
I would commend with all my heart and soul. There is a person, and he has made an impact upon my life. I first got to know him as a schoolboy. He has given me joy that I cannot put into words. He has communicated to my life a significance. He has given me a foundation. He has given me a focus, and he has given me a future.
Dear friend, I'm glad I ever got to know him. You know, Christianity is Christ. And Christianity, the first time that we read it in the Bible, is associated with a person. I would love that you would get to know him tonight. I'm glad I ever discovered how much I needed him. I'm glad I ever discovered how much he did for me when he died upon the cross. And I'm happier still for that night, dear friend, when I trusted him to be my Savior. Thank God he saved me. He's mine because he died for me. He saved my soul. He set me free. 10,000 charms around him shine. And above them all, I know he's mine. Christian, me a Christian? Yes, dear friend. The second time that the word Christian is found in the Bible, at least in my thinking tonight, it's not linked with a person, it's linked with a persecution. You know, if you become a Christian, dear friend, you'll get it. The sneer, the stipe, the spittle, the cold shoulder. To become a Christian, we are not rolling out in front of you a red carpet across the world. But dear friend, we are promising you the golden street of heaven for all eternity. Christianity is not only associated with a person, but Christianity has a price. And the third time that we read it in the Bible is just right here. It's not now a person. And it's not now a price. But you know, Christianity is associated with a persuasion. This man said to Paul, the great preacher, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, let me tell you, dear friend, I'm absolutely persuaded. I'm not hoping. I'm not wishing. I'm not guessing. I'm persuaded. Absolutely confident, here I stand. I'm not beshifting my ground as I think of meeting God, as I think of facing death, as I think of the great eternity and heaven and hell that lie beyond for every one of us. Dear friend, I'm persuaded. Christ is my only foundation. He's my stay. He's my Savior. And I am persuaded. And I know whom I have believed. What about me, a Christian? Yes. Yes, dear friend, me, a Christian. What about you? We have made some eliminations. I have given you the three explanations of what's involved. Just before I look at some excuses, I want to take a pause here. Remember, dear friend, the true mark of every Christian is the person who has discovered, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner before God. I cannot save myself. My sins deserve God's judgment. There was one upon the cross who died and bore that judgment due to sin. I need him, and I trust him as my Savior. And dear friend, the moment you trust him, that very moment you become a Christian. And it's all in Christ. Why do people hesitate? If this is so important, if this is so fundamental, if this is so basic to the existence of human beings, if you cannot get to heaven without this, why is it so many people shy away? You may have come tonight to this meeting. You may never have been in a gospel meeting before. Dear friend, you're in the right place. And I would like to talk to you as a fellow human being. We're going to talk business and we're going to talk self. Now, one of the reasons that many people dismiss Christianity is simply this. They say it's irrelevant. It wasn't too bad in the first century. And it wasn't too bad when Queen Victoria was on the throne. But it has become irrelevant. In our modern world of gadgets, in our modern world of technology, all this Christianity thing, it sounds antiquated and it's out of date and it's a relic of the past. Why don't you people tell us something that's relevant to life? How to bring the mortgage down? Tell us how to improve our financial percentages. Tell us how to get promotion in our job. Tell us something that is where the rubber hits the road, where it has real life. Many people think, dear friend, this is just, well, it's maybe not too bad for a Sunday evening. But as far as a Monday morning's concerned, Now, listen. Do you see what we are talking about tonight? It's relevant for Sunday. It's relevant for Monday. It's relevant for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's relevant for living. It's relevant for dying. And I have just said, dear friend, we are not talking about something that's peripheral and something that's out on the edge. We are talking about something that's important for eternity. A Christian, if this is not just something that's hot air. This has to do with you. Because if you never become a Christian, dear friend, you will be in hell. The second reason, I'm calling it an excuse, that people use for dismissing Christianity, they say, well, sure, all the Christians are hypocrites. I'm sorry. I have to swallow my spittle. I have to take a deep breath. And I have to lower my voice and drop my head and say that in many cases people who talk about being Christians are hypocrites. I know that. But dear friend, they're not all hypocrites. Now you know somewhere in your street, somewhere about the suburbs of Larne, somewhere in the place where you work, you know some man or some woman, and with way down deep in your heart, whether you really want to admit it or not, you know that man's a Christian, and that woman's a Christian. Now, dear friend, they're not all hypocrites. You know, the man that was preaching in this very chapter, I'll tell you, he was no hypocrite. He was one of Christianity's biggest opponents. God changed him and saved him, and he became Christianity's greatest advocate. And he was a real man. I'm not a hypocrite. Quite a number of people in this meeting, dear friend, and we take Christianity serious. It's our very meat and drink. It's our very bread and butter. To use a common figure, it's something that's important to us. Listen, we don't want you to become a fake, because that's no good to us, it's no good to God, and it's no good to you. But remember, tonight in this hall, you could become a real Christian. Christianity is irrelevant. Christianity, dear friends, right in the center. All Christians are hypocrites. No, there are some people absolutely real. And there's another thing I want to say just on that. Remember, Christians make mistakes. But we commend to you tonight Christ. There's no hypocrisy in Christ. He never deceived a single person. He never told a mistruth. And dear friend, tonight he can make you the kind of person that you never could otherwise be. I hope that you might become a Christian tonight in this meeting. Another thing that some people say, and I have heard it as I have travelled about and talked to different folks at different times, some people say, well, you know, to be a Christian, they're brainwashed. What do you think of that? I wouldn't like to think that I'm brainwashed. I'm not so easily fooled. Believe that or not, dear friend. And I have taken a hard look at this business. When I put my trust in Christ, I wasn't grasping a fable. And I wasn't believing a fiction. Dear friend, to trust Christ and to become a Christian and to be a Christian, I did not have to screw off my brain. And I did not have to commit intellectual suicide. I say to anyone in this meeting, you can examine Christianity from A to Z as rigorously as you like, and you'll not find a fault. Dear friend, Christ is a fact. The death of the Lord Jesus upon Golgotha is a historical fact. On a Friday afternoon, the 3rd of April, A.D. 33, the everlasting Son of God, he died for our sins. 2 days later, he left behind an empty tomb. And I say tonight in this meeting that the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the most verifiable fact of human history. Christ is living. I'm not brainwashed. We are not trying to bring on you some kind of psychological pressure and get you sign up to something and you don't know what you're doing. This is not insured. I better not say too much. This is not car sales. This is not insurance policy. If you sell cars, keep at it. There's nothing. If you sell insurance, I'm not against it, dear friend. This is not high pressure of any kind. This is Christianity and this is Christ. I hope there might be someone here tonight say, well, I'm going to hesitate no longer because this is something that's been bothering me. This is something I've been thinking about. This is something I have edged away from for years. Maybe, dear friend, there has been niggling in your mind for years that you would need to do something about this and you have been building up excuses. Remember, you have come to the very point tonight where something has to be done. Not all Christians are hypocrites. Christians are not brainwashed. I want to come to another excuse that people often use that keeps them back from becoming a Christian. I want you to listen to this. I have heard, folks have said to me, Christianity is just for softies. It's a common perception that people who are weak psychologically and people who are weak nervously, that they turn to religion and they become Christians because they just don't have the strength and the stamina to stand upon their own two good feet. And if they had a little bit of strength, they wouldn't need the crutch of Christianity. A man told me the other day, he said, the only reason you have Christianity is because it's a crutch. Well, I said, all right, sir. I knew by the look of him, he was the last who should have been talking. And I pressed him hard. I said, tell me, what's your crutch? And he hemmed, and he hawed, and he puffed, and he pulled for a while. And I said, what's your crutch? And he admitted at the finish, his crutch was drugs. He said, I couldn't get through if I didn't get the pin. He said, I wouldn't be able to get through, and it gives me a high. And it keeps, well, I said, you can call Christianity a crutch if you like, but I would rather have that crutch than drugs. Dear friend, most people need something. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't stand on my own feet. And I'll be more honest. I certainly couldn't stand before God. But blessed be his name. I'll stand upon the merit of Christ. Stand upon the foundation of his precious blood. Some of you young people that are hale and hearty and well and physical fit bodies, someday, and I hope it doesn't happen, but if you ever have the misfortune to tumble down the stairs and break your leg, you'll be glad of a crutch. You can laugh at a crutch when both legs are working. But when your leg is broken, and it's the only way to get going again, you're glad to take a crutch. You know what made me first appreciate Christ? It's because, dear friend, I discovered how much I needed him. Broken, helpless, guilty, lost. And what I could never do, there was one had done it all. And dear friend, I'm leaning upon him. I never spend a day without speaking to him. I enjoy his presence. I love his word. I trust in his precious blood. I'll soon be with him in eternal glory. This is what Christ means to me. You can say that Christianity is a crutch if you like. But mind you, I wouldn't like to be hobbling to eternity without it. Because once you get to the end, dear friend, without Christianity, and you take your last little stagger over the edge, you will drop into hell forever. Me a Christian? Me a Christian? I want to pursue this a little bit more. What about you, a Christian? I was saying there that some people despise Christianity and dismiss it because they perceive it as a crutch. But I want to mention this. Some people despise it and they say because Christians are just softies. I think I used that expression already, but I want to explain what I mean. They say that if people had the backbone to face up to life on their own, they wouldn't need Christianity. It's only those who are vulnerable, and it's only those who are insecure, and it's only those who find themselves caving in that they have to resort to this. Now let me mention a thing very clearly here tonight. Don't you believe that, dear friend, for a minute. Because I want to say emphatically, it takes more backbone to go to heaven than it does to go to hell. You know, any car can say, oh no. But a person who's going to turn to Christ and become a Christian, they're going to need a little bit of courage just to do that. Here's a man. As I come to the conclusion of my meeting almost, the man that we read about, he has just listened to one of the greatest gospel preachers who ever spoke. As this man, Agrippa, he was a king. As he had listened to the very compelling address of the Apostle Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I have often wondered, in my preaching and thinking about that text, I have often wondered where the emphasis is. Now you listen to this. When King Agrippa spoke to Paul, did he say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Or did he say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Or did he say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Was it the almost? Was it the me? Or was it the Christian? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think, dear friend, it was on the me. He says to Paul, and listen. He says, do you expect me to become a Christian? Me? He says, do you know who I am? He said, this business of Christianity, he said, it might be all right for you. He said, for people that are a little bit further down the social ladder, it might be all right, but he said, do you not recognize that I'm a king? Me become a Christian? He says, my man, he says, it's all right for the common folk, but he says, me. I hope, dear friend, he didn't feel like that. Because, you know, Christianity's for kings and it's for beggars. Christianity's for rich and poor. And if this man thought he was too big to be a Christian, I'm afraid, dear friend, he has gone down to eternal ruin. And he'll regret the opportunity that he missed. He'll regret it forever. He had a problem. He had two problems. And I just want to mention this. I'm asking you now, as I get into the last 4 or 5 minutes of my address, and I'm not going to keep you different, this is important. We're not playing around. The most important thing in your life is that you become a Christian. But you say, I have problems. Well, I try to deal with some of the problems. This man had two problems. One of the problems that he had, just sitting beside him when he was listening to the Apostle Paul preaching, sitting beside him there was a lady. He was living with her in marriage relationships, but she was actually a younger sister. And he knew, me and she. Well, he said, if I become a Christian, there are going to be changes here. Now, dear friend, let me tell you this.
I plead with you. You can't become a Christian and still live a life of sin. If you want to have your sin and practice it and keep it, dear friend, you'll live with it and you'll die in it. And you'll go to hell with it. Oh, he said. He had a second problem. You know, this man belonged to a family. And in the whole breed of them, there wasn't a Christian hardly to be. Well, there might have been one or two, but not many. You know, his grandfather, and I'll not tell you the story tonight, this man's grandfather was the man who put John the Baptist to death. His great-grandfather was the man that put the little children to death the time the Lord Jesus was born. He would belong to a family connection, and his whole family connection, they absolutely hated Christianity. And he knew, if I make a break, I'll be making a break with family tradition. And the whole lock, stock and barrel of my connection, they were totally against it, and I'm going to be the odd one. Whatever will they think of me if I let the family down? Me a Christian? He said, no way, it's too much. Maybe, dear friend, I wonder if, but this is not easy. I don't come from a Christian family that runs away back, I do not. And this may not be easy for you. There might not be another Christian in your whole connection. And you know that if I become a Christian on the 24th of August, I'll have the whole family against me. Dear friend, let me tell you, wouldn't it be far better for you to turn to Christ and make sure it was everything was well for yourself? You get yourself sorted out. Many people allow the fear of publicity and the fear of popularity. And they say, well, just for me to become a Christian would be too costly. I want to whisper a little thing into your ear. For you to become a Christian, dear friend, it will be costly. Let us make no bones about it. But let me tell you, for you not to become a Christian will be a million times more costly. What are you going to do? We're going to disperse here in a minute. Or a couple of minutes after I pray briefly and the concluding hymn is given. I wonder if there's someone here and you're almost. And as this meeting, the shadows fall upon this meeting, dear friend, and the claims of Christ are placed firmly before you, and it's heaven or it's hell for eternity. I trust that with solemnity before God, that there might be one person. You don't need to leave your chair. You don't need to stand up. Dear friend, you could cross the line in your heart and soul as you sit in this meeting and say, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Dear friend, I feel in my soul, the compulsion in my soul, as I look across this little audience, I feel that there are some of you folks, and you have hovered round Christianity for years. You have moved around the edges. There has always been a hankering in your mind that some way and someday I hope I'll get this settled. There may be a little while you forget about it, and then it bubbles up again, and then you forget about it, and it bubbles up again, and you toss with it, and you turn with it, you set it aside, and then it bubbles up again. Here you are tonight. There could be a young boy here. There could be a middle-aged person. There could be an older friend in this meeting. May God grant, dear friend, that this will be the night of decision for you. Me, a Christian. Yes, you a Christian. Thank God Christ is a Savior. May he be your Savior because you trust him. Will you trust Christ now? Because, dear friend, if you really trust him, thank God you will become a Christian. in this very conference in Lourdes. Me, a Christian. I definitely am. You, a Christian. May God grant you will be before you leave this meeting. Shall we pray? Our Father, we commend to Thee Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the truth of the gospel. We thank Thee for the glories, the faithless glories of Thy well-beloved Son. We thank Thee for the abiding value of the precious blood which He shed upon the cross. We pray that there may be someone in this audience who has considered these matters for quite a while, that even this very night he or she may be brought to a point of crisis, and that it will be no longer almost, but that even tonight it will be altogether. What a wonder it is for a soul to be altogether saved. We thank Thee for every life in which delivering mercies have been known. We commend the people to Thee. We thank Thee for all who have taken out the time to come to this meeting. And we ask that these 45 minutes will not be in vain. Make them and mark them for eternity, we pray, as we ask Thy blessing in our travels home, in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.